Welcome, dogs. Get your goggles. Get your Titus Lycra tri suit. Put on those compression socks. Why be good at one sport if you can be shit at three? This is the Triathlon Mockery Podcast. Morning, my dogs. Back in the game. Back in the game. I am flipping tired as anything, Joe. I woke up this morning. Poor sleep. Like a really poor sleep. And yeah, body recovery, not at all. Not recovered at all. And I've got a very grim session coming up today. VO2 max and run off the bike. What would you say? Can it? Go to the beach?
You're the lifestyle athlete, mate. You're meant to be living the dream. Drinking wine, sipping margaritas.
I know. Damn, I feel rough as anything. Like, I ain't kidding you.
How's it? On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate your feelings?
Well, my feelings are hurt. I don't know. I just woke up this morning and I just felt so rough. So I had a 6-hour training day yesterday, which is already more than a third of the amount of hours that I would clock normally in a week. So I've been training on average something like between 15 and 18 hours a week. And it was a semi-hard swim in the morning and then a 100k easy bike, but then a Nighthawk run. And the Nighthawk run was basically a 19k interval session, which of 5k tempo, 4k sub threshold, 3k sub threshold, and then 2k like at threshold. And yeah, you can again imagine if you've already done like 4.5 hours of training and it is 8 p.m. I wanted to do it on the track, but the track was like someone rented the flipping athletics track, so I had to do it.
That's so annoying when people do that.
I know, it's flipping annoying. So I had to make up my mind and do it somewhere else, and that was already a low. But then I still had to do a 20K, almost 20K, hot run session, and it was 8 p.m.
So you were going to do 5K interval on the track, just 12 and a half laps to start off?
Christian Blumenfeld style, mate, when he's in Sierra Nevada. Yeah, I was gonna. Because in the city, it's so
man.
Because in the city, there's traffic lights, and around the city, it's dark when you're night hawking. So you need something to shine in the light.
Yeah, train in the dark so you can shine in the light. That's you, isn't it?
Yeah, that is me. But
you're
I did
like
it.
Star.
I did it. The only reason why I postponed it to the end of the day, because I would have my little run squat, the Amsterdam run squat. And yeah, in the end, we did it like with the eight of us and we handicapped it.
And ladies and gentlemen, sponsors, if you're looking to sponsor someone, Tom Moosterdijk, he's doing what others won't so he can achieve what others can't.
But to be fair, I do like it with the group. Otherwise, I wouldn't get it. I saw you posting up anyone around Norwich for a fancier run.
I know, mate. I know. I got to take it, didn't I? But I weren't feeling it. Like, so in the end, I just ended up like coaching him or not coaching him.
But that must have been a grim run as well, because you ain't asking
not
people
really.
Out for like
it
an
wasn't
easy
really
run.
A grim run. Like, I just hate doing interval sessions really by yourself. I just think it's just shite, to be honest.
Like, I know.
And it's just not really that fun, is it? Like doing them by yourself. I mean, like it's just way more fun doing it with other people, isn't it? And to be honest, I don't even think an interval session really has to be that hard if you're doing it by yourself for it to be feel shit. Do you know what I mean? Like even if you're just doing like a 30-minute tempo, it's just a bit naff by yourself, isn't it? Whereas when you've got other people, it's just so much more fun, even if they're different abilities to you, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, 100%.
Like just starting 100%. The session.
Same for swimming. Like if I turn up to a pool in an empty lane and I'm there by myself, it just makes me contemplate life. You know?
I know. Same here. 100%.
When I see, for example, Noel Milkey or whoever posting up a picture of a complete empty pool, no one there, and then I'm going to do a 5K swim set. I would, a chance if I'm getting in that I feel shit just because mentally I would have that had that hit.
I know. I'd rather go to prison. I'd rather spend a week, I'd rather spend a night in prison than do a 5K solo swim set.
Yeah.
And I'm not even joking. Like, I think if that was the options, that it wouldn't be that hard for me to pick that. The only thing that would put me off would be not knowing who my cellmate was going to be.
Yeah, but and with other people in the swim in the pool, I would mean like people joining you in for the session. I mean, I'd rather have a lane to myself than five people breaststroking their flipping way around.
I don't know. I think I'd rather have five people breaststroking their way around than be solo, because then at least then I'd have an excuse to get in the sauna early.
Yeah. And you would get...
couldn't swim, couldn't do the intervals, you... made the best of the situation.
And 100%. So if you feel lonely for a day, you just go to like a public pool and you do like some hard swimming in like a crowded lane, and 100% you end up with a chat with someone.
Yeah, an argument, a fight.
But just for the social bit, but anyway, how do you feel then?
I feel fine within myself. It's really strange because the last few days, so I did I ended up the week last week feeling fantastic, having some great sessions, and then on Monday planned to do an easy day because it was like quite a hard 3 days before that where I'd done quite a lot of training. So Monday was just going to be like a swim and a gym session. Mm-hmm. And then I did that. Didn't feel great, but I wasn't expecting to feel great. And then Tuesday, I felt so flat and fatigued. Went to do another swim and just ended up cutting
even
it short.
Even starting to like moan, like, oh.
I know, mate. I'm like...
Yeah. I'm gasping for...
I've been in the game too... I've been in the game too long.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, like I felt like... fatigued, and then so I cut the swim a bit like short, and then didn't do anything for the rest of the day. I thought, you know what, because I was meant to be doing a run session, the run session on what I did yesterday, you know, where I was trying to get people, I was meant to be doing it Tuesday night with Josh Holman. I could tell like there was no way I was gonna have it in me, so I thought, well, I'll do it Wednesday. Warmed up on the track yesterday and thought, I feel horrendous, like, just, but not like tiredness like from training, more like just didn't feel great within myself. I don't know why, because I felt fine at home. I felt fine, like I didn't feel anything bad. My watch, you know, like your Garmin tells you, like you said, your training readiness score and all that. Last week it was telling me, you should feel a bit tired, and all that. Heart rate variability was all over the place, but I felt great, was hitting some really good sessions. Then this week the watch is telling me you should feel fantastic, like the scores are off the charts, but the feeling's not off the charts. But I feel good today, but who knows, I'll try a bike ride in a little while after this and we'll see how it goes. But I mean, like, just sitting here now chatting, I actually feel fine. I actually feel pretty good, to be fair.
Would you say when you wake up you feel like fatigue, as in
no, I feel absolutely fine when I wake up. That's the weird thing, like if like the feeling is that you feel great, like okay. I feel fine, so that's a strange thing. Laura said she had that, she felt off because she did a high rocks class on Monday. And then she was like, oh, it killed me. It was the same session as before. She said, I don't know what it is. I just didn't have it. You know, she was obviously smashing it and just got stuck in and did it anyway. And then it felt like it floored her, she said. She's been dealing with fatigue from that.
I know that it's strange. I mean, I've had it after, you know, in between the 10K and like a day after the half marathon. So it was a period for 2.5 weeks where I would literally wake up, and some days I would wake up with a really, really light headache but not really sick. And some days I would wake up absolutely fine and I would try to do like a session and my legs would just feel fatigued and I would just do
that
an
was
easy
what
session.
It was, yeah.
My within, legs just within felt the period really... of 2.5 weeks, I haven't done any interval session, nor on the bike, nor on the run, only like some in the pool, because I just felt fucked all the flip
time. Looks like I'm going to be flying for Oceanside.
Well, to be fair, after the half marathon, so them 2.5 weeks, I was really starting to get like down because I was thinking like, why is my body not cooperating? But then after the half marathon, I literally took 3 days, so 2 days off, and then 1 day very easy. And then after that, so since last weekend, I'm absolutely flying, mate. Like, just feeling good. I've been doing the intervals. I've been doing like a hard VO2 max. You know, the brick session that I did that you saw on the YouTube video, that was on Saturday. And then on Monday, I did a great session. Tuesday, intervals again. And then yesterday, I did like a 6-hour training day with a massive, massive spicy Nighthawk. And I was literally thinking yesterday, because I was on the bike, it was 17 degrees. I was wearing my shorts with my white legs. I was riding with my mate and there was only wind force one, which means it's a flipping awesome day. And I was thinking, life is good, man. You know, I'm feeling like I'm slowly getting fitter again. I was really looking forward to that run session. So after the bike, I did 4.5 hours of training. And I came home, immediately ate something. I went for a little nap, but I couldn't sleep because I was too flipping excited for that run because I wanted to crush it. And I was just thinking, like, now I just need to keep this one up for 8 weeks. I've got another 8 weeks to improve for Ironman Lanzarote. I'm really looking forward to it. But them 2.5 weeks really flipping grounded me down.
So are you turning away from the lifestyle athlete and more the athlete?
No, it's still about balance, mate. I'm still I had a birthday, two birthday parties last weekend. I went out till 2 a.m. But then the next day, I'm sleeping in a little bit and then I'm getting out and I'm flipping crushing it, you know. It's just about not, I wouldn't drink 20 beers. I'll just have two.
12.
Or
12.
Or alcohol
12 pints of Guinness. That will sort you out, won't it? Yeah. You'll be on Yanfredino's protein beers soon, won't you?
Yeah. Never. No.
That's one. We'll save that one for Blumenfeld, won't we? The protein beers. That's probably...
They even sell them in the supermarket now here in the Netherlands.
Do they?
Yeah, them five beers, yeah. But it was so flipping. Our sneaky Yanni was like a half a year ago. He already, I mean, he doesn't do money deals. He only does stocks deals. So, for example, I want a stakes in your company. So he was like, a year ago or something, he said, oh, I'm being sponsored by Five, best alcohol-free beer in the world. And then now a couple of months later, he was like, I liked it so much that I bought stakes in the company. Yeah. Who are you, Pinocchio? Real life Pinocchio?
It's a beer with whey protein in it, guys. So it tastes good. You just have to watch out for the lumps.
I don't know. It's actually all right, to be fair.
No. Have you tried it?
But I have tried it, yeah.
And does it taste like a normal beer? Like if you didn't know and someone poured you that out... And gave it to you. You said, "Oh, just get us a like a beer." And
I think you can compare it to some of the beyond the vegan burger options where you.
I like a vegan burger. I like a vegan burger.
Easy on me, bro. If you would do like a vegan burger taste, you would think it is. I mean, I've had some vegan burgers and then I had the looks at me like, what do you think? And I immediately knew it was off. So I thought, if this is meat, it's off. And it was vegan, but it wasn't rank. You know, it's all right.
I think same with
this
really
beer.
Good.
If you would do a blind tasting, you would know this is strange. This is a strange beer. But then it also tastes a little bit like beer. But I wouldn't have it. I would rather have like a nice meal with proteins and then a proper beer or a lemonade or whatever. I don't know. But I wouldn't necessarily buy these beers for the protein. You know, I just think it's a bit overcomplicating stuff.
You know, you said about that vegan burger. Yeah. I remember you telling me after you had it, because you didn't realize that I'd had them before. And you were like, oh, I had this awful burger. Like it was vegan. Have you had one? And you said that they tried to trick you by not saying nothing, and giving it to you, and you thought it was disgusting that there was something wrong with it. And but I mm-hmm. was it the Beyond Meat one as well?
I think so.
Yeah, I actually think they're quite nice, them ones. I've actually brought them before instead of a normal burger.
Yeah?
Yeah, like I like the taste, man. Like I don't know what it is. Yeah, like
yeah, that's all right. Maybe you're getting woke, maybe my brother. My brother is getting woke. That's all right. I mean, good on you. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I just rather eat not meat at all.
But you can't beat a decent normal burger, though, can you? To be fair,
a decent fuck aged Wagyu boy on a bun. Yeah, I know. I wouldn't.
Got saved by a vegan. Come to think of it, like not that long ago. I actually thought I told this story on the podcast, but I don't think I have. So I was going to go to this cafe in Norwich called Cafe 33. Mm-hmm. So we went there. I was finishing a bike ride. Because when I was finishing a bike ride, I said to Laura, I'll meet you at the cafe. So we went there. And we were hoping to sit like in the window so I could sit outside, see my bike. But it was too busy. Couldn't get in. It was absolutely rammed. Oh, the dogs are going mad now. I can hear them. They're literally trying to get the postie. But yeah, we tried to go to that cafe, couldn't go, they're too busy. So I thought, oh, we'll have to go, we'll go into the city somewhere. I said, we'll find a cafe where I can sit right next, you know, in the window, have the bike like close by so no one can do anything. Mm-hmm. So we found one, because I looked on my phone, wanted to get something like healthy, found a vegan restaurant. It was only a 5-minute walk away.
So when was this?
Probably, I'm going to say early January. January sometime. January, I'm going to say. It was January. So I looked at the notes on my phone. So I had my bike, didn't have a lock. And then I saw this guy come past the cafe and he looked like a right scrope, you know, the type. Like he was on like...
Scrope is real, like skank or...
Yeah, like looked like a skank, mate. And I saw him mine up the bike and I thought, I think he's going to do something. And then I saw him come past it because just the way he looked at it. And then I saw him come past again.
Which bike was it?
It was my road bike, my Argon road bike.
Oui.
The newest one. I said to one of the people in the cafe, I said, I think that guy's going to try and steal my bike. I like went over to my bike and then I moved it. But I moved it to in next to the cafe and then kind of like put a table so it was to the side of it and then like two chairs like either way. So basically the only way it was like wedged in effectively. So the only way he'd be able to take it is if he moved the table or chairs. Yeah. So obviously if I saw him doing that, then I'm literally I'm 2 meters away from the door and the bike's right there. So I'm going to be like going out, aren't I? And I'm going to stop him straight away. Yeah. Whereas if it was in the other one, potentially he could have run up to it, got the bike out and just like done a flying mount. That would be it. It'd be gone. So yeah, when I moved my bike, the guy like asked me, he said, what are you looking at? Because like, obviously I knew that he was doing something. He was standing just out of view from the window at the shop, but he was like standing there watching it. And he's like, what are you looking at? I said, I thought you were going to nick my bike. So I was just keeping an eye on you, you know, but if you're not like, you know, sorry about it, mate, but that's what I thought you were going to do. He said, I ain't going to try and nick your bike, you know, swearing and stuff like that. He said, I'm waiting for a friend of mine, you know, at this place here. And then he went mental and he took his coat off and he tried to start like a punch up in the street. You know, like he had his coat off. He was like in his T-shirt.
Was he on drugs or something?
I think he's probably on drugs at different points. I don't know if he was on drugs at this point.
Did he, so in the end, he didn't like literally try to steal it? It was just you making the assumption that he looked
No,
like
he was trying to steal it, mate. Like 100%. Like when I said to him, I thought you were going to steal it. He went mental. He said, why would I want to nick that? I've got a bike. His bike was like 50, like probably about 50 quid. And I was like, yeah, he's like, why would I want yours? And I've got one. I said, well, you know, that one's a lot more, but he was standing. He came past it, mate, twice. Mm-hmm. And then was standing there just staring at it, just out of view of me. He was waiting for
maybe
the right
he was looking at,
to grab
wow,
it.
Is that the new Shimano 12-speed group set? That is amazing. I've only seen it on DC and Rainmaker. You know, because also some people can just be fan of bikes, mate. You know, you've also got car fans, kids walking around. Wow, is that a Lamborghini? You're just like, wow, the new Aragon road bike? That is sick. And then you're coming out, yo, you're trying to steal my bike, brother? You're trying to steal my bike? So it's just
he came in the shop, mate, and start a fight with me. Like he actually tried to open the door and start like literally come in and start a punch up. In the end, the vegans at the restaurant had to like send him on his way. You know, yeah,
because they
were safe.
They beat
saved
his
by
meat.
An unlikely hero.
But do you want to hear a little trick? What you'd have to do. So next time you're gonna pop your bike somewhere at a cafe stop. What you can do is put your helmet with the helmet strap through your rim. So, for example, your rear rim.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
And then the helmet strap through it. So if someone tries to nick it, they can't like jump doing the flying mount because they do flying mount on the ground.
That would have been so funny to do to see him, because then if he had tried to do it, I would have like caught him and he would have ended up like stacking it at the same time. So, but I've actually got a video of this guy trying to start a fight with me with his T-shirt off, because one of the women in the shop,
well, he had his T-shirt off.
He took his coat off and he's there like jumping around like he's Muhammad Ali, mate, like about to like try and like properly like start a punch up in the middle of the city. People are like walking past, what the hell
I
is
do
going
find
on
it,
here?
I do find
I'm
it
in cleats
though,
and everything,
you,
mate.
You attract abusive and aggressive people, like either if it's Tony or whatever who it is,
Jane, Tony,
the cardboard whatever thing issue, you attract aggression. What's that kind of worth in a ring?
The thing is, it's like a scale, mate. Like, I think aggressive people are attracted to me because I've got a sense of zen that balances them out. So it's like, they're a 10 out of 10 for aggression out here. I'm a 1 or 2. Together, we're about 5, 6. You know, we kind of balance out. Like, you know?
You would say you're the yin-yang. You're the yang to the yin.
Exactly. I'm the yin to their yang, you know? Like,
fair enough.
So but I do seem to attract a lot of aggression, don't I? You know, yeah. Like, there's always something in there. Like, but could you imagine if you were in Amsterdam, you're in cleats, you come out the restaurant, this guy's dancing in front of you, taking his coat off like he's Muhammad Ali, and you're thinking, well, I'm in cleats, mate, I can barely walk properly. Like, this isn't going to end very well for me.
But I would say a Joe Skipper on flipping cleats is still quicker than a guy on crystal meth. and a guy on crystal meth and vaporflies, you know? So
he had vaporflies on as well.
Did he?
Yeah.
It's flipping nuts. So he's even to crack the crack more quicker.
Yeah, imagine how quick he would have been. He would have been in and out, wouldn't he? Boom, boom, boom. I'd have been like flipping heck. Like, I didn't see that coming. Now, I don't think he would have been too quick, to be honest, this guy. And to be honest, the vegan scared him off. After that, he kind of got onto him. That was it. He was gone. And
if
we
you
were
don't
just
leave
saying,
now, we're going to make you a vegan burger. That's all right. If you like it, you like it. Hey, so what now? You've been, so the last 3 days, you've been feeling a bit off. And when are you leaving for Oceanside?
Tuesday. So, yeah, I'll do a little session today, little bike ride, see how I feel. And then if I feel good, then tomorrow I'll do like some decent training. And then got Saturday, Sunday. Monday will be an easy day because obviously just get your stuff all packed up before you go. And I don't think it's a good idea to do long haul traveling like when you've done massive training and fatigued, because you're more likely to catch an illness, because obviously like they recircle all the air, don't they, on the plane and stuff. So if other people are ill and then you're going on there with a depleted immune system, plus you're traveling, you've got the time difference, then you're just asking for an illness before you go out to race. So I never want like to travel feeling smashed, because I think it's a good recipe for disaster.
So you want to postpone your travel dates, maybe?
No, just don't do a hard session the day before you travel.
Okay.
Like not postpone them. Like, if you're whatever day you're traveling, if you do a hard session, you go into it fatigued. Your immune system's down, isn't it? And then you're likely to get ill.
Yeah, fair enough. When was your travel day again?
Tuesday.
All right, and then how long you've got till Oceanside? Is that already race week? That is race week.
No, I got another. The race is the following week. So I've got like 11 days, something like that, 10 or 11 days.
Now, with what big hitters are you most nervous about to meet them in real life?
Probably Matty Vyts.
Yeah?
He's a big dog, man. He's big. He's going places. 500 watt FTP this guy's got. He's running like the wind, and he swims flipping
but
do fast.
We, do we for, so I'm at Oceanside, 70.3, so it's a half distance. It's one of the Pro Series first. Is the Pro Series first ranked race? First race. 70 to 80 pros on the list. That is flipping excited, isn't it? I mean, also so many people are there. It's fun to meet everyone after the season, and that's going to be a cracking race, mate. Like, I remember after COVID when we were doing, so there was no flipping racing going on. The only races that were going on were the ones in the US. So I remember everyone was going to Texas and Florida, and it was like a 70.3 World Championships back to back. But it was fun because everyone was there. There's like a big start list. You get to meet everyone. And I don't know. I found those events very fun. Instead of going to an event where you're there with one top 20 German, an Austrian, and like two Brazilians, you know?
I find the American races always way more fun than racing in Europe.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just think there's a better vibe, to be honest, better atmosphere.
Is it also the experience that you fly out there, you rent this big VA truck, you're sleeping in like a camper van or something like that? Was it like these mobile homes?
How many times have you raced in America?
Yeah, not as much as you. I've raced Kona twice, which is technically America, but not really to me.
And then was it just them 70.3s?
Yeah, just them. But I found that I still remember
every race
that
in America
as the best
like
trip
that.
I've had.
But every race in America is a really good atmosphere like that. Like, mate, I've not had a bad experience.
If I think back about that, so one of the trips was New Zealand, which we've got great memories. But the other one, that's what I like about triathlon, because you like travel, you go somewhere, you meet a lot of people. But then, so this trip was, first it was Dubai, because we had to get out of Europe for a month, remember? Because then you can travel into the US, because the US had blocked everyone from Europe.
No, it wasn't that, was it? I had to go to bloody US because I couldn't even get back to England. They wanted to put me in a bloody concentration camp for 2 weeks.
Oh, right. Yeah. In the Netherlands, it was different. Like,
I've been in Dubai for 3 months anyway, hadn't I?
Yeah, I know. The US wouldn't have let us in because we were coming from a European country. They had this like, you couldn't fly in.
For 2 weeks.
Yeah. So you had to stay outside of Europe for 2 weeks. So it's like a non-Schengen country. So I went to Dubai to visit you. And then we trained there for a month. And then, boom, the US. And I had the full US experience, mate. I rented this big pickup truck. I was sleeping in one of these mobile homes with a barbecue outside. This was in Texas. I was having a burger and steak at the Hooters. They had this like classic, what's it called? Like theme, small theme park on the, like in Galveston on the beach side, you know, what you also see in Rocket Power.
Yeah, but that theme park was shut though, wasn't it?
No, it was open. It was open. Everything was open, mate. And I remember you had something fucked with your weird bike with the Quintana Roo back then. And you went to this really, really weird small bicycle shop.
Mate, that was the only bike shop there.
For a very, very specific part for your bike.
Yeah, I remember. I remember. Like, that was like basically a bike shop that does like bike rentals for people cruising up and down the seafront. There was no other bike shops. We went to Galveston because, like, on the map, anyone coming from Europe, you look on the map and you see where Galveston is, and it's like goes out from like Houston, doesn't it? Goes into the Gulf of Mexico, a nice little island, and you think, oh wow, this is going to be like a paradise. We're in the Gulf of Mexico. The beaches are going to be amazing. And to be fair, you look at the beaches on Google Maps, and they do look bloody good, don't they? So you're like, wow, the beaches are nice. This is going to be the place to be. And in reality, you get to Galveston, and you're like, oh no, I've made a bad choice here.
We did a longer ride through like a redneck camp. I remember if you ride all the way off like the straight highway towards the end, we turned like a ride over a bridge, and then we did like a little loop through a redneck camp. That was pretty scary.
There was only one road, what you had to do. So you literally ride down the island, and it's like, if you want to do a 2 hour ride, 3 hour ride, 4 hour ride, you just keep riding down this road, and then you just do a U-turn in the road. That's how boring it was. And then you head back. And then when you get close to Galveston, it's just traffic light, stop, start, like that. And then you're like, the wind was horrendous. It was completely flat. There was no hills to break it up. Was there? It was pretty soul destroying, wasn't it? Being there for 9 days before the race.
But that whole trip, so first Texas, and then the weekend after that, Florida. And in Florida, I also went to like one of the theme parks from Disney and from Universal Studios. That was just a flipping awesome trip.
Yeah. You need to come out to America more and race, mate.
Yeah, I know. But it's so.
Quickly get your name on that Oceanside start list. Put your hat in the mix.
No, I can. I'm on the list for not on the list yet. I still need to like subscribe to that Ironman Lanzarote.
What about Texas? But
do you know what other race I can also do?
What about Ironman Texas, mate?
No, that's coming too soon. It's already April. Yeah. Minus tapers, like 3.5 weeks. I need more than that. What about Ironman Brazil?
Oh, mate, that's such a draft fest from what I've heard.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like,
I heard they're really fair. They also don't do any, like, bead pets and all that.
Oh, I've heard that there's so many amateurs that are doping out there.
Yeah, true.
I think that's that's anything goes, basically. It's like the Wild West.
Yeah. That is true. You can literally just, I remember when I was in Mexico, you can literally just go to a pharmacy store and they promote it. Buy your testosterone here.
Apparently, when you're on the start line out there, you can smell it. It's that strong.
Yeah.
From the athletes.
Like in a normal Ironman, you can smell the pee of people's wetsuits, you know, like it's dripping down the wetsuit. And here, it's like excess.
You can smell growth hormone.
Yes, it is.
You know, people's ears apparently touch their shoulders and you're looking around and going, wow, I'm getting Gandalf here.
Except pee, it's also like EPO leaving their body, like through the urine. Yeah, it's crazy. It's like a crazy race.
If they piss on your foot, it will make it hench. Like, it's that strong.
Last year, someone did 6 hours and 15 minutes in Brazil.
I'm not surprised, mate. And he probably did an extra lap on the bike.
Yeah, but they took him off because it was too obvious.
Too obvious. You're making the normal people look bad. Yeah. It wasn't just one person, was it? Wasn't it like six of them that rode around like that?
Anyway, all right. So Oceanside, but I commented on Lionel Sanders' YouTube channel that he should get on a podcast with us. Because I want to ask him some stuff about, I want to do an interview with him.
What would you like to ask him? If you had him on, like now, pretend I'm Lionel.
I wanna hear more about. I wanna hear stuff about his past and how he was wired in from high school and like before he got into triathlon. I wanna hear about the dark days, how he went through them. Because I know some people in the Netherlands, like how they went through dark days in a. I want to really know his story because I don't really. He said, "Yeah, I was on drugs, but how? How did he like? Well, how did he?
How did he get onto it?
Did he like call a scooter guy that would come up and deliver it through his like mailbox, and he would sit in a living room with a bottle of scotch? I don't know. I want to hear the stories detailed, and then I want to like how his first years into triathlon went. Really, I mean." We all, if you want to hear how his sessions is going, like 3x5K of the bike, you can just go to his YouTube channel. But a real in-depth interview in like his life, and also now that he's a father, you're a father, so I want to hear some more stuff about that, how it's working out for him. I want to get more interviews of those out. You know, I think that's good fun.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's not replying to you, is he?
I don't know. I think I thought he said to you that he wanted to do one in real life.
He said he'd do one in real life, yeah. But he said he's not doing any stuff like that at the moment, like remotely. He said if I'm there in Tucson or whatever Oceanside, and we sit down after the race, he'd be up for doing one. But at the moment, he's training hard and then spending time with the family, and he's not doing podcasts and stuff like that. You know, remotely, no, basically. No. All right, fair dues.
I mean, yeah, good on him. Good on him. But anyway, it's still something for the future, you know.
Lionel. We'll try and not get you cancelled if you come on. He's like weighing out the risk rewards. Like,
yeah, he probably is. I mean, I don't think he is because if he would, he could have gotten on either the Triathlon Taran podcast or that Triathlon Train podcast or whatever.
How's that Taran doing now? Like, if people are interested in coaching, like, he's the man, isn't he? Like, his coaching
To be fair,
don't upset him, Tom. Last time you talked about him, we got a message on Instagram.
Don't upset him.
He's very emotional.
I wanted to say, like, I remember when he was in the beginning, like a pioneer, wasn't he? Like, in the sports for people that were.
You went on his show, man.
From people that were new in the sport. I was pretty new back then, but he offered a lot of content, and I'm actually wondering what he's up to nowadays.
He must have quit triathlon, surely, like, because I've not heard anything from him.
Yeah,
COVID got to him.
Yeah,
COVID took some souls, mate. COVID did take some souls off people, didn't it? That since COVID came, they had never been the same since.
I know. Yeah. It did change a lot, COVID, though. It did change a lot. A lot of the pros changed. A lot of the...
Do you think in our lifetime.
Brazilian
pros. Oh, man, yeah. No. They come out absolutely stacked, didn't they? Like, went into COVID, couldn't break 20 minutes for a 5K, come out and they're running 13 minutes 10, you know, at like 80 kilos. You know, do you think there will be another lockdown of some sort in our lifetime because of another pandemic?
That's just guesswork, isn't it?
But do you think people would listen to a lockdown if they did it?
I think it would be, more keen to riot.
Because I don't think people in England would take it now, knowing everything they did and how the government that were making all the rules didn't listen to it. Mm-hmm. I think it would have to be something where you physically saw people dying of it for you to actually think, oh God, I really don't want to catch this. I might actually die.
In the beginning, during COVID, it did actually look like that, remember?
It looked like that. Numbers, what the government was saying, but was it all exaggerated?
Well, I don't know, but when someone did had COVID, remember, they came around with like an ambulance in these weird suits. They were going to pick you up and put you in the hospital. Yeah. And serious. Yeah.
I remember doing the bike ride. Can you remember during COVID? And I got absolutely abused, didn't I?
In the beginning, it was pretty extreme because I remember you had all these videos from hospitals in Italy that didn't have the right stuff to treat people. And you could see like whole hospitals filled with people looked like they were going flipping to death, you know? So I don't think it was a joke in the beginning, but then later on, you know, after a couple of months, it was all right, wasn't it? And it just went on for another 1.5 years. But we already had that group immunity. So no, I don't know. You never know what happens in the future. All right. Now, before we head over to the Bullshit Buster, I quickly want to chat with you about Valair, the strength app for personal training schedule. So if you don't know what to do in the gym, what you should be doing in the gym, if you want to bulk up, bulk down, train for triathlon, running, swimming, or just for the beach, head over to Valair.com and get your personalized training schedule today, righty?
Yeah, and guys, check it out. It will coach you as you go along, tell you how many reps to do of certain exercises, whether or not to up the weights, lower them, depend on your fatigue. It's basically like your own personal trainer. And it has loads of specific plans designed for swimming, biking, running, or triathlon. Check it out. If you go on my Instagram, you'll see that there's a link there, and that will give you an extra 2 weeks free on top of the standard trial. So you'll get a month free to use it. Have a look at it, and it will definitely take your performances to the next level. And if you're struggling, you've always wanted to do gym stuff but not sure what to do, then this was the app that you will need. And it's a hell of a lot cheaper than getting your own personal trainer. Also, one thing that we've got, Tom, which people might like, is you can do the same gym workout as the pro athletes that we've been working with. So you can do my personal gym session that I've got from Kate. There's Jack Moody, who's a New Zealand triathlete. His is on there, and we're getting loads more.
Be able to get one day the Tomo Sadiq plan, the lifestyle athlete plan?
We can get it, mate. Yeah. Like, we would work with you and get you a plan if you want one. Like, wow. Your own specific plan. You could pick what you want to work at. Swimming,
biking,
running.
I'm literally touching my abs while you were saying that.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Let's head over to the Bullshit Buster. Now, I came up to this Bullshit Buster because one part of my journey, Joe, when I started off with training again in January, I gained the weight. So I was 81 kilos. And to put it into perspective, when I'm fit for races, I am 72.5 to 73.5 kilos, but more about, let's say, 73 kilos, which is basically 10% extra weight, which is a shitload. And I could feel it when I was pulling up my bib shorts. I could feel my belly in between the bibs. Was I massively overweight? Of course not. Was it professional worthy? Of course not. So with the training, I had to lose some weight. And one way to do it is, you're starting to train again, up in the volume. But another way to do it as well is by monitoring your nutrition. And I was for a period, I am for a period now of 3 weeks monitoring my nutrition. Well, I'm going in depth on the YouTube video what I did. But then someone commented saying, and I'm going to read it to you, Joe, because I wanted to, I saw that this came from something that we've seen on the gram. So the comment was, does weight even matter if you're training well and eating healthy? Olaf Alexander Boo says, keep saying it's not important and can be counterproductive, which is really challenging my internal biases. It's an interesting topic. Now, that sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it?
Well, I think what he's saying is he always thought that weight mattered, but he's heard from Olav that it doesn't matter. And is that true? Has he been overthinking it too much? Does it matter if he's 90 kilos, you know, instead of 80 kilos? Like,
and now I'm going to bullshit bust this one. Because when I was at my 80, so when I was 81 kilos, I wasn't massively overweight, but I can tell you I wasn't fit either. And it makes an absolute massive difference with being, for example, 73 kilos. And 73 kilos for me is a weight that I don't have to be anal about nutrition so that I'm massively trying to lose the weight or whatever. I'm just at my strongest being. All those 7 kilos are the kilos that you need to take with you when you're going for a run, when you're going for a bike session. And Olaf is talking from a perspective from two athletes, Gustav and Christian, that train 30 hours plus a week. And then you've got age groupers who train 9 hours a week and taking that into a consideration and saying, all right, so I can eat whatever I want, because he's going on about a calorie is a calorie and just need to like stuff it up. But a calorie is not a flipping calorie. I mean, quinoa is different than chocolate, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also, there's a difference between race weighted and Christmas kilos. Now, don't get me wrong. There are there is a thing like underfeeding. So you shouldn't do this like cutting weight without knowing what you're doing. You should like talk to a nutritionist. And I'm going to make a special about this with the nutritionist from Roglic, Vingegaard and Wout van Aert to bring more knowledge to the world so we know what we're doing. But what do you think of this, Joe, of being like and think about from the perspective from people who train 10 hours a week, 10 to 12 hours a week.
To be honest, I think even if you train 30 hours a week, it makes what you eat makes a massive difference. You can't just eat crap. And I think, to be honest, even if you train more hours, what you eat personally, I think, is even more important, because you're pushing your body to such extremes that you need to get the good recovery food in, you know, like. When I'm training hard, and doing hard sessions, training a lot of volume, I need to make sure that I'm getting really healthy foods in, and obviously a lot of food to fuel it. But like, because you train so much, it is hard to get the calories in. But you need to make sure you're eating loads of veg, loads of fruit, proteins, like nice healthy food. Because at the end of the day, if you have a Ferrari, you don't put 4-star in a Ferrari, do you? You need to put the best petrol in. And if you want to perform well and recover, you need to make sure you eat a really healthy diet. I mean, if you don't want to recover as well, then fine, eat.
On what part? I think there is a big misconception or disinformation for a lot of amateur athletes, is that they watch these videos on YouTube and hear these pros talking about podcasts and all that. They train a lot and they hear them talking about eating 5,000 calories, 6,000 calories. And they're thinking like, I should be eating an absolute shitload. But then why does still the majority of the athletes, and I'm talking like maybe 80, 85 to 90%, and this is only, of course, if you're interested in it, you know, they train 12 hours a week, but they're far from lean. Like, how is that possible if you train 12 hours a week cardio, you know? That is because you're still massively overeating. So if you want to have an insight, so, and if you actually want to lose weight in the first place, if you want to have an insight, you should be tracking what you're doing for a period, for example, of 3 weeks. So you would have an insight of, I'm taking this many calories and carbs, protein, whatever, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then you can also see what exercise you're doing on these days. And then you have an insight in, am I overfueling on some days? Am I underfueling on some days, which is costing recovery? you get actually an insight in what you're doing, and you don't like, because I think some people eat 5,000-6,000 calories on a day that they only train like an hour easy ride, 90-minute easy bike ride, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you're eating more calories than you burn, you're definitely going to gain the weight. I also, you know, when I did that weighted vest thing, like where I did the 5K, we worked out afterwards that basically 1 kilo was 2 seconds, 2.1 seconds a kilometer slower.
Yeah.
So if you like, say you do a 5K and you were only 1 kilo heavier, it would be like 10.5 seconds. But that is obviously that is per kilo of dead weight. And if you were like a kilo heavier yourself, you're going to have extra blood and stuff like that. And it might be useful mass. So this is just looking at it in terms of if you have a kilo of weight that's actually not offering you any help in like forward propulsion, it's just dead weight. So in terms of like a normal person, it wouldn't quite make as much, but you're probably talking like a second and a half slower per kilo per kilometer. So, but I mean, obviously you don't want to get too skinny. Like you don't want to underfuel. That's probably worse than being overweight.
And another thing, what you never want to do is lose a lot of kilos in a very short amount of time. So I am right now aiming for 2 kilos in a period of like 10 weeks.
Yeah. But I do think a lot of people take on too many carbs in their sessions from what I see.
100%. 100%.
Like, I see a lot of people that have gone so OTT with taking in like 120, 140 grams of carbs for training sessions that aren't actually that demanding. And a lot of the time, you know, especially with these Ironman athletes, it's like you're riding at Ironman pace. You're using mostly, you shouldn't be using loads of carbohydrates for fuel at that intensity. And you certainly don't need to keep having 140, 120 grams of carbs an hour, you know, to do a session like that. It's just, yeah, and you just don't need it. Like
the majority of this stuff is not applicable to 99% of the age group athletes. You know, if you train, for example, you train 10 to 12 hours a week, which means throughout the week, you only train an hour to an hour and a half a day. That is something you would be able to do on the glycogen stores, what you already have. You know, if you've got a 45 minute base run on a Tuesday, you don't need to extra fuel for that. If you have an intense session, 90 minutes, 75 minutes, then maybe you take 50 grams of carbs, 60 grams of carbs, and then you have dinner after that, whatever. But
yeah,
you don't need to like massively fuel if you're only training 10 hours a week.
I do wonder if a lot of all this high carb stuff now is made up by the energy industry to sell a lot more products, because it, say you're doing 4 hour ride, 5 hour rides, and they're telling you need to have 100, 120 grams of carbs. So you have 4 gels an hour, you do a 5 hour ride, you need 20 gels. You're probably talking like 50 quid's worth of products, like £2.50 a gel, you know, minimum £2 a gel, really. So I wonder if half of it is an exaggeration by the companies, because they're selling so many more products now. If we can tell, you know, you think about it for them. If they tell people they need to have 100, 120 grams of carbs, oh, you're going to recover a lot better, your training's going to be great, and people up it from 40, 50 grams, all of a sudden, their punters are buying three times as many products for the same for training sessions. You know, you add that up over the course of a week, you could end up spending, you know, basically 100 quid on energy products a week instead of like 10, 20 quid before.
Yeah, and especially for, I mean, you in the past have been working multiple times with a nutritionist, so you now have a bit of an idea how many carbs are in which product, how many calories are in certain products, so you know approximately what you're eating. If you have no clue what you're doing, so you have a Ferrari, but you're literally going to the gas station blindfolded, just grabbing one of the pumps and putting it in the Ferrari. You need
putting
to know what you're putting.
It.
Yeah, but you need to know what you're putting into it and how much, you know. If the tank's full, the tank's flipping full. You can keep pouring it into, but it's going to run over, you know. It's going to fill the seats up. So, yeah, if you want to know what you're doing, start measuring. You can have a little look at the video so you can get some insights. But in the coming weeks, I want to try and get out the podcast with the nutritionist and actually teach something about this topic, because just stuffing up with carbs and calories and calories and you got to keep eating is, in my own opinion, disinformation.
Yeah,
it's just something people can't work with, is it? Like making it overcomplicated. Anyway, Jody, I'll see you next week. We need to try and record on Monday, because Tuesday you'll be flying. So literally.
Yep, I'll catch you next week, mate.
Alrighty, dogs. Thanks for listening. Now, if you liked our show, then thanks. We'll be seeing you next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.